The reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 31, and that's found in the Church Bible on page 865. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on very high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd, and so has been plundered, and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock. Therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them. So will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring them back, the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another, and between rams and goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture. Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? It is not enough for you to drink clear water. Must you also muddy the rest with your feet? Must my flock feed on what you have trampled and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you shove with flank and shoulder, butting all the weak sheep with your horns until you have driven them away, I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between one sheep and another. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and rid the land of wild beasts, so that they may live in the desert and sleep in the forests in safety. I will bless them and the places surrounding my hill. I will send down showers in season. There will be showers of blessing. The trees of the field will yield their fruit, and the ground will yield its crops. The people will be secure in their land. They will know that I am the Lord, when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands of those who have enslaved them. They will no longer be plundered by the nations, nor will wild animals devour them. They will live in safety, and no one will make them afraid. I will provide for them a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scour of the nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord.
Let's take our seats, shall we? And as you take your seat, if you can turn to that passage that Brenda read for us, to Ezekiel chapter 34, that'll help us as we go and look through that passage this morning, I'm sure. Well, it is the third Sunday in Advent. We're approaching Christmas. There's got to be shepherds, therefore, haven't there? Maybe we weren't thinking about the shepherds in Ezekiel 34 that we'd be looking at this morning, but we're going to spend some time there. And first of all, we're going to pray and ask God that he will open our eyes and our hearts as we look at his word. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, the word inspired by your Spirit, the word that speaks of the great shepherd, Saviour, Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will open our ears, our eyes, our hearts. Lord, help us to come to your word now humbly, not putting ourselves above what you have spoken, but submitting to your word. Taking heed of your word for what it has to say to us this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray that in reading your word, we will once again be encouraged to put all our trust in you. Do that this morning, Heavenly Father, for us, that we will be encouraged again to put our trust in you as we go out of this building this morning, out into another week. Trust in you and in you alone, just as we've sung, and truly we will be blessed. May we know you as the great shepherd of your sheep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, who cares for you? Who cares for you? Who do you look to provide for, to care for you? What kind of care are you looking for? Perhaps this morning, most of us sitting in here now, we're fully grown adults, aren't we? And maybe we think, well, we don't really need anyone to care for us. Sure, the young children that have gone out into their classes, they need someone to care for them. Maybe the older folk amongst us, maybe we feel we need somebody to care for us. Those of us who are somewhat unwell, we need care. But not you. In reality, it's true, isn't it, that every one of us have all kinds of people who we look to for care, who bring us, provide care. Family and friends, work colleagues, line managers, mentors, therapists, home helps, doctors, consultants, teachers, emergency services, church pastors, governments. All provide some kind of care for us in our lives, don't they? This chapter in the book of Ezekiel, this Old Testament book of Ezekiel, it is all about those who have responsibility for caring for God's people and who we should look to provide care for us. I'm guessing this part of the Bible, it might be somewhat unfamiliar to maybe many of us. It's maybe not as flicked through this part of the Bible as other parts of the Bible for some of us this morning. Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, was written just under 600 years prior to Jesus being born. It was written clearly by a man called Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet, a priest. And this book was written in Babylon. In Babylon, where God's Old Testament people, Israel, had been exiled due to their continual turning away from God. 800 years before this book of Ezekiel was written, under Joshua's hand, you'll remember God's people came into the land that God had promised them. God had brought his people into the land flowing with milk and honey. If you were with us on last Sunday morning when David spoke to us, the other David. David told us, remember, how Joshua had led God's people to conquest in the land of Canaan. And last Sunday morning particularly, we saw how Joshua had said to God's people, his final words to them, you need to seek, to look to love, to obey the Lord your God. And doing so, it would bring great blessing to the people as God cared for them in the land. Failing to look to love and to obey the Lord God would bring disaster. Turning from God would mean that the people would be driven out of the good land that God had given them, to be ruled over by other nations, to lose their home, to lose their very identity. Exiled from the place where God had promised to be with them, to care for them, to bless them. And by the time we get to Ezekiel chapter 34, that disaster, that exile from the land as a punishment from God for their sin and idolatry. That exile, that disaster has happened. Despite warning upon warning upon warning from the Lord their God, the people continued to chase after other gods. Until in 597 BC, God says enough's enough. And God sends the Babylonian king, King Nebuchadnezzar, to conquer Israel. King Nebuchadnezzar appoints a puppet king over the people of Israel. King Zedekiah, his name is. Zedekiah is nothing more than a puppet for Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar rounds up the people. He drives them out of the land and he brings them into exile in Babylon. Out of the land. Just where Ezekiel chapter 34 is written in Babylon. What has gone so wrong? Well, according to Ezekiel 34, a large part of the problem is that those that God has put over his people to care for them, to watch over them, to provide for them, to protect them, those people have failed drastically. Let's begin in verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? That phrase, the shepherds of Israel, it's a way of referring to Israel's leaders. Israel's kings, their rulers, their priests, their political and spiritual leaders. If you think about it, a shepherd is a good metaphor, a good picture, isn't it, for a king or a ruler. Just as a shepherd protects and provides for the sheep, so leaders are to care for, to provide and protect for the people that they're to rule over and be responsible for. And this image of kings and rulers as shepherds is found throughout the Bible, isn't it? You know it's found in that psalm that we sang earlier, Psalm 23. Indeed, it was common not only in Israel, it was common in biblical times throughout the whole of the Middle East. Rulers, kings, as shepherds. But here in this chapter, God's got an accusation to bring against Israel's shepherds. They're looking after themselves, and they're neglecting those they're supposed to care for. They're using and they're abusing the people to feather their own nests. Look at verse 3. You eat the curds that have been provided for by the sheep and the goats. You clothe yourself with the wool provided for by the sheep. You slaughter the choice animals, but you do not care for the flock. Instead of feeding the sheep, ensuring the people had all they need physically and spiritually, instead of feeding the sheep, they're feeding on the sheep, feeding off the sheep. They're using the sheep to make themselves comfortable. And that's especially the case with the weakest, with those most in need, verse 4. You've not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. There is a massive lack of care here. And it's not just down to inability or incompetence. No, theirs has been a harsh, a brutal rule for the weakest. No thought for those who have struggled the most. No attempt to call back sheep who have been wandering astray. No attempt to help carry the burdens of the weakest sheep who have been weighed down. No thought for the weak. No care. Harsh, brutal leadership. And the sheep have been the ones to suffer. Verse 5. So they were scattered, the sheep that is, because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth. And no one searched or looked for them. You need to pause here, I think. As a pastor, as elders, maybe for any of us this morning who are in any kind of leadership role, at work, as parents, maybe small group leaders or youth group leaders. Let me say this morning, it should be hard for us to read this chapter and not tremble. Certainly that's what I found this week as I've read and reread this chapter. My responsibility as your pastor to feed you and not to feed on you. To do you good and not to seek gain from you. You know, there are times as leaders that we need to repent for the lack of care that we've given to those that we're responsible for. And I know as your pastor that there are times when I've not been the shepherd to you that God has called me to be. And that calls for true repentance, true change on my behalf. But I need to say that as I've examined and re-examined my own heart and this passage again this week, I trust that I'm not in the situation that these shepherds in Ezekiel 34 were in. You see, leaders like every one of us can and do get things wrong, don't we? With the best intentions in the world, we can miscare for or neglect people. But here in Ezekiel 34, the situation is that those who have been placed over God's people, they're just not bothered about the sheep. They are only interested in themselves, only interested in looking after themselves and theirs. Think of a leader like Mugabe in Zimbabwe. Think of what we've seen over the last, 3-4 weeks ago in Burkina Faso, with the former president wanting to cling on to power at all costs there. That's the kind of accusation that's being made here. And when it comes to shepherding God's people, the evidence that those appointed to care for and shepherd God's sheep, the evidence that they're not doing the role that they've been called to do, it's obvious. It's there in verse 6. Maybe it's not that clear to us what it is upon first sight as we read the words. Look at verse 6. This is how you tell that God, the shepherds over God's flock, God's people, are doing what they're called to do. Verse 6, my sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. And it's that phrase, every high hill, that's used repeatedly in the Old Testament to refer to going up and offering sacrifices to idols. Going up on a high hill and bowing down and worshipping false gods. So here's the problem here. When the shepherds that God has placed over his sheep, when they don't care for the flock, then the flock will just wander elsewhere. They'll turn to idols. They'll turn to false gods. Elders, small group leaders, leaders of children's and youth work, parents. This is how seriously God talks about shepherding his people. This is how seriously shepherding God's people is. And it's because it's so serious a thing to neglect the care of God's people that God's judgment on these brutal, careless shepherds is so severe. Look at verse 9, would you? Verse 9. God says, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. You see, it's God who's appointed these leaders to care for his people. And if the flock isn't tended as God desires, if the sheep are wandering away from God, then God will hold these shepherds accountable. God will remove these shepherds from the role he's placed them in. He'll stop them profiting from and living off those under their care. God's people are God's sheep. And God will judge all those who seek to harm or misuse his precious, cared-for sheep. And throughout the Old Testament, king after king, ruler after ruler, political and spiritual leaders, they came and went, and apart from the odd blip now and again, they failed to shepherd God's flock as God desired. And that was a key factor, a driving factor, why God's people are in exile in Babylon. Their leaders failed to care for them as the Lord required, and the people had turned to go and worship other gods, false gods, idols, looking to other gods to provide for their needs. And the words that God speaks here, they're no idle threat. This is exactly what happened. God carried out the judgment. King Zedekiah, the puppet king installed by Nebuchadnezzar, he was the last king in the line. He foolishly rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and he and his two sons are slaughtered. The line of King David is broken. The people exiled from the land. No king, no shepherd to care for them. Who will shepherd them now? Who will care for them now? God's judgment on the leaders. God's judgment on his people. Could the people even think of themselves as being God's flock now? Look at the amazing words in verse 11. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. Here's God's amazing solution to the problem. In the place of unfaithful, cruel shepherds, God himself is going to come to be with and to shepherd his people. No more intermediaries, no more kings to do the work in God's place. No, God says, I'm going to do it myself. 24 times, it's amazing in this chapter, 24 times in 20 verses, God says, I will, or I myself will. It's you find it time and time again, what God is going to do himself. Of course, we're not to think that God hasn't been with his people in the past. God's cared for his people since he called them to himself. God is the king over his people. But God had set up others to rule under him. Back in 1 Samuel chapter 8, some 400 years before this chapter in Ezekiel was written, God's people came to the prophet Samuel. Samuel, they say, please give us a king like the rest of the nations of God. Samuel, we want a king. We want to be like the rest of the nations. And Samuel warns them, no, that's not right. God is your king. If you have a human king, human princes, they'll just look after their own interests. They'll take what is rightfully yours and take it for themselves. Far from being the caring shepherds that the God who made you has been to you, earthly kings will be a burden on you. And the tragic verdict God gives upon his people at that time when they come to Samuel, that verdict is repeated time and time again, generation after generation. And it's this, 1 Samuel 8, verse 7. My people have rejected me as their king. My people have rejected me. But God gives his wayward people their heart's desire. God says, you can have your human king. You can have your human king to shepherd and to care for you. And that king's role is to point back to me and to ensure that you live under my good rule. But just as God had warned, the kings and the leaders, they become a snare and a burden to the people. And then we get to Ezekiel 34. And God says, enough is enough. Your heart's desires have led you into exile, into oppression. No more intermediaries, no more delegation, no more earthly rulers, no more heroes, flawed as they have been. My people don't need another hero. My people need me. Remember in 2008, 6 years ago, 2008, remember when Obama first became president in the US? Do you remember the wave of euphoria and excitement and expectation, the hopes that people had? To listen to some commentators, anything, everything seemed possible. According to a poll earlier this year, Obama has been the worst president, most Americans think, since the Second World War. David mentioned in his prayer, the next 6 months, we're going to have all of our political leaders, aren't we, telling us again and again and again to vote for them so that they can change things for the better for us, so that they can care for us, they can watch over us. And yeah, we are to be involved in that political process. But don't think politics can change a thing. God says it's me you need. I'm the one you need as your shepherd. I'm the one you need as your king, as your restorer and rescuer to protect and provide for you. And here in Ezekiel 34, God says, I'm coming. I'm coming myself to shepherd and to care for my people. But you know, God judging the corrupt shepherds and coming to shepherd the flock himself, it does mean that God will put things right across the board. Make sure that his rule isn't ignored by anyone. Just look at the end of verse 16. Over the page there, verse 16, God says, I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Well, what does that justice look like? Well, it's not just the shepherds. It's also the sheep who will be judged. Verse 17. As for you, my flock, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will judge between one sheep and another and between rams and goats.
Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture? Must you also trample the rest of your pasture with your feet? You see, it is the leaders, but it's not just the leaders who've strayed from God. Here, the picture is of the stronger sheep, and they're eating to their heart's content. They're munching on the good grass. But they're also trampling the grass behind them, so it's ruined and inedible for the weaker, less able sheep. Verse 20, therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says to them. See, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep. God's not against the rich, but those who have prospered by greedily taking for themselves all of the good things and leaving nothing for the poor, God says, yeah, you'll be judged too. As God comes to shepherd his people, the flock will be purified of corrupt leaders, but also of selfish sheep. God being present with his people, it is good news. But it's only good news if you're ready to see yourself in your weakness and your need to submit to his care and his rule. But then, having repeatedly said that God, that he's done with in-betweeners, that he's done with go-betweens, with intermediaries, having said that he himself will come and shepherd his people. In verse 23, God says something totally unexpected and seemingly contradictory. I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. So the Lord, he cannot rely on delegating rule over his flock to someone else. And so he's going to come himself and shepherd his people. And in verse 23, the Lord's going to appoint another shepherd. A shepherd like King David, only better to shepherd his people. Well, which one is it? It can't possibly be that the two are true, can it? How can God appoint a servant like David to be the one to shepherd his people and yet claim that he's going to be the one who himself is going to come and shepherd the people? Well, we only get the answer, don't we? 600 years later, in Emmanuel, God with us, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Word become flesh, the incarnation. Jesus, fully God, fully man. Friends, Ezekiel 34, it is a brilliant Christmas passage. It speaks of the coming shepherd, fully God, fully man, the Lord Jesus. That's why we read those words at the beginning of our time together this morning from John chapter 10. Jesus is the good shepherd. And as the good shepherd, as the divine servant shepherd, Jesus comes, verse 25 of Ezekiel 34. And he says he comes to make a covenant of peace with his sheep, with his flock. A covenant of peace, a new agreement. Not just a return from exile and a truce with the nations around them. No, Israel, God's Old Testament people, they return to Jerusalem from Babylon under Nehemiah and Ezra. And yet still they were like sheep without a shepherd. A covenant of peace. Some of you, I'm guessing, are aware that that word for peace in Hebrew is shalom. It means complete well-being. The covenant of peace God promises here is a promise that as God comes to his people, he's going to shepherd his flock so that his flock flourish, so that his flock are fruitful. God says, when I come and shepherd my people, I'll care for them so that even the weakest among them will prosper. I'll do it through my shepherd servant, David's greater son. And it's in his son, as the Word takes on flesh, that God makes this covenant of peace, this complete care package for his people. a covenant, verse 26, where God showers blessing on his people. All we need for our eternal good, all we need to walk along the road following the shepherd, security, well-being, fruitfulness, a covenant under which, as God repeatedly says here in verses 30 and 31, they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them. And that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people. And I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. My sheep will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them to care for and shepherd them. I'm going to come as the divine servant shepherd. I'll send my servant shepherd to care for my flock. And on that first Christmas, that small child who needs every moment Mary and Joseph's care, he is the great shepherd who has come to care for his people. He's the shepherd who's come to serve his people, to heal, to teach, to forgive, to die for his sheep. To take the sins of his people upon himself as the shepherd to die in the place of his sheep. And so as we close, just turn with me to the New Testament and turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is a great chapter. We're not going to read the whole chapter, don't worry. But it's a great chapter to read the whole of in the light of Ezekiel 34. John chapter 10, page 1076. 1076, we're going to read from verse 7. These are the words of Jesus. John 10, verse 7. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers. They were those harsh shepherds, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it to the full. That's peace. That's shalom. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks and the flock scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Surely Jesus has got Ezekiel 34 in his mind as he says these words, surely. The hired hands, the very best of them, they will not, they cannot care for God's sheep as the good shepherd will care for the sheep. As the shepherd who lays down his life to save the sheep will care for the sheep. Verse 14 of John 10. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. That's that covenant of peace. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus, the servant shepherd, the one with his Father. He's come to do his Father's will. He's come to die in the place of his sheep, to give his life to save his sheep. How are we going to apply this? What does this mean for us? Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. You've never experienced the care of the shepherd who gave his life to bring you complete well-being, spiritual well-being, at peace with God, forgiveness of your sin. Friend, if that is you this morning, then this good shepherd, he invites you to come to him, to know that true peace, that shalom, total spiritual well-being, to be at home with God. But whether or not we'd call ourselves Christians here this morning, every one of us who are sitting or me standing, every one of us were tempted to look for care from others where only Jesus, the Good Shepherd, can provide the care that we need. Those that we look to for care in our lives, husbands and wives and parents and children and doctors and pastors and politicians, they are all good gifts given to us from God. But they can provide the care that the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, can. They were never ever meant to. We look to our politicians, don't we, to solve the world's problems. And they fail massively again and again and again. And we get frustrated and we get impatient with them. We're looking to them to provide something that they were never there to do. We look to our doctors, don't we, to care for our health. And yet for all of their skill, we become anxious and we get agitated because we know they can't cure everything. We look at our pastors to ease our spiritual burdens. And we fail. And we become disillusioned with them. Children look to their parents and they blame them for the way they've been raised. Parents look to their children, and as they get older, they're disappointed that they're not as round to, enough to care for them as they feel right. We look to our husbands, we look to our wives to give us the care and attention that we feel that we need, that we feel we deserve. And we get let down again and again and again, and we get angry and we get agitated and we get annoyed with them. All flawed shepherds at best. At worst, cruel, self-serving shepherds. But at best, flawed shepherds. Shepherds who cannot carry the burden of care that we needy sheep need. And we've sang this morning, "And I will trust in you." What's the last word? Alone. Friend, as we go out into another week, a week where we are going to need the care of other people, where we're to be thankful for the care and support that others will give us this week, we need to be clear. It's only the God who made you. It's only the God who took on flesh and became a man to shepherd you, to rescue you. It's only the Good Shepherd who's able to care for us as we need. Don't look for that care anywhere else. Cast your cares on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've instructed us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Heavenly Father, we praise you that in the Lord Jesus Christ you have given us that great shepherd of the sheep, the one who cares for his sheep even unto death. And his word to us is this: behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Heavenly Father, this morning some of us do need to repent where we've not cared for others as we should have. I'm guessing all of us need to repent for when we've looked for other people to provide a level of care that they're quite simply not able to give. When we've looked in one direction and we should have been looking to you. Heavenly Father, help us this week as we go. Help us to look to Jesus, that Good Shepherd, to provide all that only he can provide for us. To find our peace, our shalom, our well-being in him. And Lord, what we pray for ourselves, we do want to pray again for all of those who will hear about this great, glorious, divine servant shepherd. Maybe for the very first time over this Christmas time. Oh Lord, that they might find him to be the shepherd of their souls. Hear our prayers, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.